No-Nonsense Nutrition is always wanting to put together information that you may not get anywhere else. Information about how you put together science and dinner. You know, what does the new science have to tell us about how we should change our eating habits? And you know what it comes down to. I could come on the air every week and say, eat more vegetables and eat less garbage, and that's the end of the show. But we talk about specific things because everybody has specific motives. You know, I've been an amateur astronomer for an awful lot of years now. And what I realized one day is even if I have a $10,000 telescope or a half a dozen $10,000 telescopes or just a pair of binoculars, we went out in the yard last night with the binoculars. It still wouldn't do me any good if I didn't have the eyeballs to look at the sky with. And so when I spoke to my friend Nancy, the licensed clinical social worker that worked for hospice for 5 years, and I said, Nancy, what is the one thing that you see that makes the biggest difference between when people want to live even though they know they have a short clock and when people are ready to close their eyes and just not open them again? And she said, it's the loss of their senses. That when people lose their ability to see or hear or taste or touch and feel, that that's the place where life just doesn't look quite as interesting anymore. And that was a big aha experience for me, because somebody who's worked at hospice for 5 years has heard a really lot of stories. And it struck a chord. And that was that we need to spend more time paying attention to taking care of these eyeballs. You know, nutrition has gained mainstream respect in the field of ophthalmology because it was very clear from a large study that was done on macular degeneration called the ARID study that we could make a very big difference with nutrition. So the age-related eye disease study was sponsored by the National Eye Institute. And it turned out that when they gave people a pretty simple formula, 500 milligrams of vitamin C, 400 IUs of vitamin E, 15 milligrams of beta carotene, 80 milligrams of zinc, and 2 milligrams of copper, that it reduced the risk of progression to advanced macular degeneration by 25%. And that was the point where nutrition was no longer a peripheral thing as far as ophthalmology was concerned. You know, there's a couple million people in the United States that have macular degeneration. And what we want to understand about this is that it is virtually preventable simply by diet. And when we look at the nature of diseases of the eye, we call cataracts a disease, but I don't know if that's really the right word to use when we talk about cataracts, because more people have cataracts than anything else, as far as eyeballs are concerned. But macular degeneration really does create a unique problem, because the macula, which is the center part of the eye, this finest vision comes from the center of your retina. And it's hard to imagine, or at least it was for me, that the retina is the most metabolically active tissue in the whole body. It has the highest demand for oxygen. And yet it gets nearly constant exposure to light, which creates a high vulnerability to oxidative damage from light. But when we began to realize that not only was that formula of copper and zinc and E and C and beta carotene able to stop moderate age-related macular degeneration from becoming advanced age-related macular degeneration, what we found out is that carotenoids and other protective pigments were very important in terms of protecting the eye. You know, these organic pigments are derived from plant sources, and they counteract all the ravages of the free radicals that create oxidative stress. There are hundreds of carotenoids found in nature, but there's only two of them that end up in the retina, and they're lutein and zeaxanthin. They're very abundant in all the leafy greens. So last night I had bok choy for dinner, and twice this week I had kale. Made it one night, had the leftovers another night. Last Wednesday at lunch, I had spanakopita, or spanakopita, depending on which side of Greece you were from, which is the spinach pie with feta in the phyllo dough. Yum. I had half of it on Wednesday with my salad at lunch, and I ate the other half on Saturday. And then I had spinach twice with my eggs. The idea being that we can put these things into our diet on a regular basis. Spinach and kale and all the leafy greens. Doesn't matter whether it's collard greens or mustard greens or turnip greens or those dark leaves that are on the bok choy. They have the carotenoids that make up the macular pigments. This is what gives the macula its characteristic yellow color. If you look at the macula in the eye, it actually is the color of an egg yolk. And the thing that happens with lutein and zeaxanthin is if you don't get them from your diet, you don't get them at all because your body can't make them. And so the cornea and the crystal lens, they absorb the long wave components of light. The retina's macula pigments filter out the short wave components that are most harmful to vision. So the macular pigments evolved in the eye when distance vision was at a premium. If you were on the bush veld of Africa, you wanted to make sure you saw a lion a long ways away and you could determine that it was a lion and not a rock. So somebody with high macular pigment can see 20 to 30% farther than somebody with low macular pigment. They're kind of like internal sunglasses. Because they reduce the effect of the scattered light on the eye, it was a bonus for our ancestors that were out in the blazing sun. It cleans up the image. It reduces the glare. So these antioxidants, when we were eating foods out of the wild, we were brimming with these antioxidants. But today, there's an awful lot of eyeballs that are starved because they're eating a contemporary diet and kale and spinach and turnip greens aren't part of it. When we think about the fact that we have reduced our variety in our diet down to just a handful of species, you know, we eat a lot of wheat and a lot of rice and a lot of corn and a lot of cows, but we don't eat a big variety like we did before. And the first thing that you need to put on your list for variety is spinach. Spinach is not only high in lutein and zeaxanthin, spinach is the highest in lutein and zeaxanthin. That and kale, neck and neck. When we look at these fat-related molecules in the membranes of the light-sensitive organs in plants. Now, wait a minute. What did she say? Light-sensitive organs in plants? Yeah, plants follow the light. There are compounds that are involved in the photosynthesis of plants, and these protect the lining of the digestive tract from inflammation. So spinach isn't just good for your eyes, it's good for other things too. When we look at prostate cancer and vegetable intake, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, mustard greens, turnip greens, collards, and kale, only spinach shows significant protection against the occurrence of aggressive prostate cancer. We want to understand that spinach is an absolutely remarkable food. This is one where Popeye was right. But you got to put the caveat warning on. If you go up on the EWG website, Environmental Working Group, and you see the Dirty Dozen, the list of the 12 fruits and vegetables that have the highest pesticide level in them, spinach is up there near the top of the list. So when you're buying spinach for your spinach salad or spinach to cook with your eggs or spinach to throw in your tomato soup, you want to buy organic spinach. Over and over again, we're going to find out that the organic foods allow compounds to be created that don't get created in sprayed food. You know, we paid attention to the wrong things when we're talking about non-organic and organic food. We're paying too much attention to the fact that, yeah, we're getting rid of the bugs, but the plants make compounds to get rid of the bugs. And if the bugs never attack the plants don't make those compounds. Yeah, think about it. There are stresses that our bodies go through that actually benefit our body, and the same thing happens with plants. So these specific substances that are in spinach and all of the dark leafy greens are the ones that your eyeball wants, the carotenoids, the protective pigments, the lutein and the zeaxanthin. Now, all these carotenoids are fat soluble. And so you know, if you're a regular listener to No Nonsense Nutrition, that 3 or 4 days a week I have vegetables and eggs for breakfast. I alternate with my fruit and yogurt. That works for me. Works for my body. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, fruit and yogurt for breakfast. I just had blueberries, papaya. Thank you, Ray Blood, for the papaya. And pineapple. And put my plain organic yogurt on it, Greek yogurt. And then Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I have eggs and vegetables for breakfast. And most of the time, it's sauteed onions and spinach. So keep that bag of organic spinach in the freezer, like we do. And when my sweet husband makes me breakfast on those mornings and throws a handful of that organic spinach on top of those sauteed onions and puts that together with my egg, I get two bangs for my buck because there is lutein and vitamin A in the egg yolk. And so the lutein that is in the spinach gets even more of a boost in terms of being absorbed by the lutein in the egg yolk. Remember that bright yellow gold color I said is the color of the macula, the same as the color of the egg yolk? And so when we look at the spinach and the egg together, we've got the fats in the egg yolk, and they help to carry the lutein that is present in the spinach. So we get benefits all the way around. And we get a bonus. Yes, act now. Call right away. And in this particular instance, the opportunity is not limited. What happens is we're dealing with vitamin A. And vitamin A is really a group of antioxidant compounds that play a very important role, not only in vision, but in bone growth and the health of the immune system. You know, we call vitamin A an eye vitamin. We call vitamin A a skin vitamin. But it also helps mucous membranes and the skin be an effective barrier to bacteria and viruses. It reduces the risk of eye infections, respiratory problems, infectious disease. Now, there's two kinds of vitamin A. There's preformed vitamin A, vitamin A that's already vitamin A, and it only comes from animal foods. So you'll get vitamin A every time you have a glass of milk. You'll get vitamin A whenever you're eating an animal product. So whether it's beef liver or chicken liver or cheese, vitamin A is going to be in there. But vitamin A comes in a almost vitamin A form. It's actually called provitamin A in the nutrition field. And this is when we have it as the carotenoid beta-carotene. Beta-carotene is a provitamin A carotenoid. In other words, it turns into vitamin A in the body in the majority of individuals. It doesn't turn into vitamin A in everybody. In fact, vitamin A drops are now being used as an effective treatment for dry eye. They found out that the over-the-counter lubricating eye drops that contain vitamin A were actually more effective than even the expensive prescription eye drops formulated for dry eye relief. So vitamin A plays a role in decreasing the risk of macular degeneration. And so whether we're getting vitamin A as vitamin A or whether we're getting vitamin A as beta carotene, both of them are going to decrease the risk of macular degeneration. And so in that landmark ARID study, the age-related eye disease study sponsored by the National Eye Institute, the people that took that vitamin that had 15 milligrams of beta-carotene actually had a reduced risk. So you don't need to be taking that vitamin. Actually, I've looked at that vitamin, and I don't think it's very good. So if a lousy vitamin reduced the risk of progressing into advanced age-related macular degeneration by 25%, just imagine what a good vitamin would. And, you know, when I hear people say all vitamins are the same, I realize they're just scientifically naive. Because when I say a good vitamin versus a not-so-great vitamin, it has to do with the form the vitamin is in. The closer the vitamin is to the way that it occurs in nature, and the way that it occurs in food, the better off it is. Well, the thing that blew my mind about the ARID study is that they didn't include lutein in that formula. So at the point that we're putting in the lutein, we're going to have even more protection. You know, vitamin A deficiency is fairly rare in the United States. It's very common among the poor in developing countries. And probably up to 500,000 malnourished children become blind every year due to a vitamin A deficiency that could have been prevented with a proper diet. But one of the first signs of vitamin A deficiency is night blindness. You know, it was ancient Egypt where they found out that if you ate liver, it would cure night blindness. Well, it turns out that liver is a rich source of vitamin A. A lack of vitamin A also can cause the cornea to become dry. And that will create kind of a variety of clouding that's different from a cataract. It can actually create corneal ulcers. Vitamin A was warned about. I can remember when people talked about vitamin A toxicity. Well, I went to the research, and I can only find one case of vitamin A toxicity that happened in a teenage boy who had acne when his basketball coach was telling him to take 187,000 IUs of it a day. Silly man. But we don't really see vitamin A toxicity. Or at least I've never seen it, not in 30 years of practice. So, when I treat dry eye in the clinic, I generally put somebody on high-quality fish oil and keep them on that for 6 weeks. And, you know, probably 50% of people with dry eye, that's all they have to do. And I say high quality. It was interesting. We had a client that came in the clinic here recently, and he brought his bottle of vitamin, his bottle of fish oil in with him. And I was really surprised when I added up the amount of EPA and DHA. Because remember, it's not how much fish oil is in the capsule. It's how much EPA and DHA are in the capsule. You add those two numbers together, and there's usually twice as much EPA as there is DHA. And that tells you how much activity there is in the capsule. So generally, I want a 600, a 780, an 820, something like that. You know, pretty goodly amounts of EPA and DHA. Well, this fellow brought in a fish oil, and when I added the two numbers together, it was 318 is the number I remember, of the addition of EPA and DHA. But that was in three capsules. So since the amount of EPA and DHA you want to get into your body if you have dry eye is about your body weight with a zero after it. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you need about 1,500 milligrams of EPA and DHA. And if you weigh 200 pounds, you need about 2,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA. You get the drift. Well, if he was going to get the amount of EPA and DHA that he really needed, he would have had to take 21 of those capsules a day. So that's what I mean about the difference between the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it wasn't very good quality in addition to that. But, you know, somebody doesn't know biochemistry. And all you guys that listen here to No Nonsense Nutrition, learn it, you know, one class at a time. You can flip that bottle of fish oil around and look at the EPA and DHA and make sure you look at how many capsules that it's in. And that's the first way that you treat dry eye. The second thing is if at the end of 6 weeks you still haven't got a result, then you add borage oil. It contains GLA, gamma-linoleic acid. GLA is also the magic ingredient that's in evening primrose oil. But evening primrose oil is about four or five times as expensive as borage oil. And borage oil does a more effective job. So I generally use about 240 milligrams twice a day of GLA and add it to the fish oil. And if at the end of the second 6 weeks we still haven't completely eliminated the dry eye, then I add 25,000 IUs of vitamin A once a day for 30 days and see if that doesn't take care of the problem. And in the majority of instances, it does. We have hardly any dry eye clients at the clinic that have maintained dry eye that haven't had significant improvements as a result of using that combination of fish oil, borage oil, and vitamin A. So all of those things are necessary. You know, our systems are still really geared for parts of the Paleolithic diets that we had many thousands of years ago. They're not geared for processed foods of refined grains and fats and sugars and salts and additives. Western diets create inflammation. They create oxidative stress. They speed the degenerative process. Doesn't matter whether it's in the macula of the eye or the collagen of the joint. And of course, it adds to the obesity epidemic. Extra fat not only increases inflammation, but it affects the concentration of nutrients in the body. You know, the retina and the brain concentrate fat-soluble antioxidants. And that's why when people eat nasty fat, You know, I saw that article that one of the big fast food outfits has come out with a low-fat French fry. It's not low fat, it's lower fat. Instead of 340 calories per serving, it has 270 calories per serving. Whoopee! It dropped the total calories by 50% by changing the coating, the breading that went on the French fry. Oh, you didn't know that French fries get breaded in order to make them crunchy? Well, they created a breading that doesn't absorb as much fat, and that's how they managed to knock 20% of the calories off. Yikes. You know, what part of eating French fries don't you get? You know, the part that blew my mind when I read this article about this particular fast food chain was that 56% of all the people that come into this restaurant order French fries. 56%. I can't believe that 56% of people live in a cave and didn't know how nasty these products are for you. Of course they're delicious. And so are oven-made French fries delicious. But remember, if you put fat in a deep fat fryer and leave it at 400 degrees and you turn it on at 9 o'clock in the morning and you turn it off at 9 o'clock at night and let it cool and then scrape out the little bits that fall off during the day and just add more oil, you're creating carcinogenic compounds. Well, where do those fats go? They go to the part of the body that likes those fat-soluble compounds. And that's the brain and that's the eyeball, the retina. Yeah, it's icky. So, we want to do everything we can to protect against macular degeneration, because in macular degeneration, you lose the center of your eyesight. So you look at somebody's face and you can't see their face. You can see their hair, you can see the wall behind them, but you can't see their face. So the nature of macular degeneration is we can make a very big difference. And you know, the carotenoids of lutein and zeaxanthine are beneficial for other things beside the eyeball. It doesn't just affect the eyeball. Those dark leafy greens affect so many things in the body. So when we begin to look at supplements from fish oil and supplements of fish itself, we continue to see that the benefits that happen from individuals who eat fish on a regular basis, even two servings a week, make a very big difference as far as health is concerned. You know, even if people eat 1 or 2 3-ounce servings of salmon or tuna each week, they showed a 40 to 50% slower loss of the central visual field than those who ate less. Vitamin A hooks together with DHA, one of the most active compounds that's in fish oil. And it hooks to the cones in the eye. You've got two different vision receptors in the eye. They're called rods and cones. And these cones use DHA. If there's no DHA in the delivery vehicle, the A is not released and the cones become deficient in vitamin A. And so that's the reason that the oily fish together with the greens is really the powerful combination. When we look at the benefit of fishes, you know, the Swedish study that was done that showed that men who ate 8 ounces of fish a week, especially the oily fish, the fish that come from the northern oceans. Remember, the further north the fish live, the more antifreeze they have to have, and that's what fish oil is. When you have a fish that comes from the tropics, you know, when we're having our grouper and our snapper that are here locally, and the mackerel, thank you, Randy, that are here locally, they still have omega-3 fatty acids. They still contain EPA and DHA, but they don't contain as much as the salmon and the tuna and the haddock and the cod and the things that, you know, live way north of here. But the combination of the vitamin A as beta-carotene or as preformed vitamin A, together with the oily fish, together with the lutein and zeaxanthin from the greens, could add up to 20 more years of vision for individuals who have problems with their eyes already. You know, when we look at retinitis pigmentosa, it may be a more rare condition of the eye, but even people that have these kinds of eye diseases could get 20 more years of vision just by eating the oily fish, just by eating the darkly green vegetables, and just by getting plenty of vitamin A or beta carotene. You're talking about with the people who have retinitis pigmentosa, the majority of them are blind by age 60. They could keep their vision their whole lives. Plus, there aren't any toxic effects. We want to make a difference even in cataracts. You know, we haven't been able to prove that lutein and zeaxanthin are present in the lens as they are in the retina and are affected in the same way. Antioxidant vitamins like C and E are also found in the lens. So there may be a protective effect of vitamin C and vitamin E and multivitamins in general. But the thing that's made the biggest difference as far as cataracts are concerned are protecting your eyes from the sun. You know, one of the things that blew my mind when I went to Egypt, among the many things that blew my mind when I went to Egypt, was the number of the felucca sailors. Those are the sailboats that sail the Nile. These incredibly handsome men, all in their 40s, who had what originally looked like pale blue eyes, and then I realized they were all cataracts. They had spent so much time on the reflective water of the Nile and with the reflective sand of Egypt that they had cataracts developed at a very young age. It was really astounding. And remember, cataracts are kind of like smearing mayonnaise on your eyes. You just keep losing a little bit of vision, a little bit of vision, a little bit of vision, all the way across the eye. It's like you're looking through dirty glass. And people don't realize until their cataracts are removed how bright the world is, how sharp the colors are, because they've been muting those colors over time. But there's nothing that's going to make a bigger difference, and especially here in sun-drenched Florida, than to get sunglasses that have UV protection. You know, the long-term exposure to ultraviolet rays damages the eye's surface as well as the internal structure. This is what contributes to cataracts and even contributes to the breakdown of the macula. Ophthalmologists and optometrists can recommend that wearing sunglasses and a brimmed hat, whenever you're in the sun long enough to get a suntan or a sunburn, is the thing to do. And remember, sunglasses don't have to be expensive in order to be protective, but they have to have UV protection. you want to find a sunglass that has a label that says that it's blocking 99 to 100% of the UVA and UVB, that the UV rays are blocked. Sometimes the manufacturer's label will say UV absorption up to 400 nanometers. This is the same as 100% UV absorption. Now, I'm a big fan of polarized glasses, but polarized glasses don't protect you from the ultraviolet light. Sunglasses should screen out 75 to 90% of the visible light. If you want to find out whether your sunglasses are dark enough, try the glasses on in front of a mirror. If you can see your eyes easily through the lens, then they're too light. And you want to make sure that you find glasses that have a uniform tint, that they're not darker in one area than they are in another. You know, always hold your glasses out at arm's length and line them up with a door jamb or, you know, a corner in a room so that you can move the lens across that line and make sure that there's no wavy distortions in there. So to me, the best sunglasses are not only going to have the UV protection, but they're also going to be polarized. Because when sunlight bounces off smooth surfaces like water, then you're getting this wiggle of the light waves coming into your eyes. And so when you've got polarizing lenses on it, that technology eliminates some of the harmful light that's caused by glare. It's often referred to as horizontal light. So it makes you squint. And, of course, that gives you wrinkles. But, yesterday when I was at Siesta Key Beach, I was able to look in the water and see the manta rays that were going by. The cow nose manta rays were at Siesta Key Beach. And so was a big redfish that I wanted to have swim directly into my fry pan. And little sugar trout and plenty of bait fish. And I could see all of them in the water. I mean, my father taught me a long time ago that wearing polarized lenses for fishing not only eliminated the glare, but it helped me see the fish better. But polarizing doesn't do anything to protect your eyes. You want to make sure that you're UV protected. That's the best protection you have against cataracts. Now, we do know that regular fruit eaters, people that are getting these carotenoids and other pigment antioxidants from fruit, have less cataracts overall. We know that vitamin C has some relationship. It showed up in a large Italian trial that there was a reduction overall in cataracts. But I've heard from an avid listener that there are formulas that can be used to dissolve cataracts, but I got no evidence that that's true. But, you know, the other thing that I want to make sure that I endorse is you go in to get your eyes checked. You know, people don't get their eyes checked. Well, they say, I don't have a problem, so what do I need to get my eyes checked for? But when I look at the effects of glaucoma, glaucoma is silent. Glaucoma doesn't give you any warning that it's coming. And so when we realize that there's several million people in the United States that have glaucoma, and that thing where they used to put the puff on your eye and that was the way that they measured your pressure and that was the measurement of glaucoma, we know now that's kind of a naive test. When we look at glaucoma, which in my opinion is clearly a stress disease, you can protect your eyes against serious vision loss. But you can't find out if you've got glaucoma unless you go get your eyes checked. So if you don't do anything else, if you haven't had your eyes checked in the last 2 years, when this show is over, pick up the phone and make an appointment. Because not only can we check for cataracts and glaucoma and age-related macular degeneration and your vision, the refractive errors that are happening in the eye, nearsighted and farsighted, but we can also look for diabetic retinopathy. You know, diabetes now affects over 11% of the American public. And the nature of diabetic retinopathy is a common complication of diabetes. It's a leading cause of blindness in American adults. It's progressive damage to the blood vessels of the retina, the light-sensitive tissue at the back of the eye. So diabetic retinopathy goes through several stages until we end up having what look like black spots in our field of vision. And it usually affects both eyes. You know, just recently I've started working with a concentrate of sweet orange, a formula that's been used in Europe for some period of time to actually strengthen blood vessels. And originally this formula was designed to treat hemorrhoids, and then they found out it benefited varicose veins, and then they found out that it helped when kidneys were breaking down and people were losing protein, as they often do when they have diabetes. And now we've applied the use of this sweet orange concentrate to diabetic retinopathy, because in all instances, these bioflavonoids, another category of nutrients, help to strengthen the little teeny tiny blood vessels. So it doesn't matter whether those little teeny tiny blood vessels are in the eye or in the kidney or they're the spider veins of your legs. When you strengthen those little teeny tiny blood vessels, you're going to have less leakage. And as a result, in the eyeball, you're not going to lose vision. So we can really see the big picture, no pun intended. You know, we don't ever address one organ system with nutrition. We promote good function everywhere. When we take fish oil for the eye, our skin gets better, our joints get better, our cholesterol may improve. You know, when we take zinc for macular degeneration, muscle cramping and acne and wound healing may improve. You know, it's virtually the same recipe. What benefits the eye and the brain benefits the heart. What benefits the heart benefits the eye and the brain. When you take a deep look at what's happening at the blood vessels in macular degeneration, it's the same thing that's happening in the heart at the same time. So, as the comic said when he joked about all the ads that were on the 6 o'clock news, that first there was the ad for heartburn, and then there was the ad for constipation, and then there was the ad for diarrhea, and then there was the ad for excess gas, and then there was, you know, it went on and on. And the comic screamed into the microphone, "It's the food!" Well, here on No Nonsense Nutrition, you learn it's the food. There are thousands of phytochemicals in vegetable and fruit. We may never know what they all are or what they all do. But the more diverse your diet, the better. Because there's no one perfect food. That's why I've said we don't want apple, 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 broccoli, 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 salmon, 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 salmon. Even if those things are good. We know that these nutrients work together synergistically. Antioxidants alone don't work much until the mineral zinc is added. And you need vitamin C to regenerate vitamin E, and omega-3s work together with lutein. So all of these things work together. But variety is a key. You've heard me emphasize so often on this show that there is no single thing that is more important than following Mother Nature's cycle. You know, we're just leaving the pitted fruit season of peaches and nectarines and apricots and cherries and plums. There's some plums that are still left out there coming from the western slope. But that's pretty much it for the pitted fruit season. And now tomorrow's October and we say goodbye to the pitted fruit season until next Memorial Day. But now it's apples and all kinds of apples and all different varieties of apples. And pears. The soft, squishy, juicy pears have started, and as we go through the season, the pears will become drier, as will the apples. And the grapes are here now. Black grapes, red grapes, Ribera grapes, green grapes, white grapes. I mean, tremendous value that we have. And each one of these things contains different compounds. The ellagic acid that's in grapes, one of the things that stops tumors in their tracks. The pectin in apples, one of the kinds of fiber that just does so much good in not only taking out toxins, but giving you regularity. The pears, phenomenal for gallbladders. No question about that. If you're one of those burpy people after you eat and, you know, you get that rising bile, yicky poo-poo, doing a pear fast one day is probably a really good idea. follow Mother Nature's cycle. We're starting to go to cool weather. That means the celery is going to get cheaper. The broccoli is going to be in abundance this next month. So when it's in abundance, you can get it 12 months out of the year. But when it's in abundance, you know right away, because when you go to the market, it's cheaper. When you go to the market, grab that organic broccoli and take it home and make yourself some broccoli soup. And don't forget the broccoli salad and the steamed broccoli and the little raw broccoli on your salad. Follow Mother Nature's cycle. But if we're looking for eyeball protection and you're looking for the lutein-rich vegetables, you got to put kale and spinach on the top of the list. Swiss chard, collard greens, even frozen peas. I had some last night. Romaine lettuce, Brussels sprouts, zucchini, even two spears of broccoli. Still has 1 milligram of lutein. Go for those dark leafy greens. They're so incredibly beneficial for the eye. We don't want to hurt our eyes. When we realize that all of the accidents that take vision away from people, did you know that 50,000 people lose their vision or part of their vision every year? That's 1,000 people a week as a result of eye accidents because they didn't have any kind of protective glasses on. That was an astounding piece of information to me. You know, the majority of the people that injure their eyes are 18 to 45. And most of the injuries happen at home. Sports is a big part of that. You know, about 15% of all the eye injuries happen to kids, 5 to 15 years old. If all they did was wear protective eyewear, we'd eliminate 90% of all eye injuries. We don't think about it when we're out trimming the trees that having protective eyewear is going to make a difference. But 1,000 people a week losing part or all of their vision just because we didn't put on protective eyewear? It kind of seems dumb, doesn't it? At least it did to me. Made me aware that I need to be more careful when I'm out in the yard. Because sometimes I go out there, you know, I'm just going out to pick up the moss or pick up the sticks in the yard. And then I decide, well, I just need to trim this one bush. I need to have my protective eyewear on when I do that. So look at your vitamins that you're taking every day. Because if you're listening to No Nonsense Nutrition, I know you're at least taking a multi. Look at that C. Make sure you got 500 milligrams. Look at that E, we're looking for 400 milligrams. Make sure that there's zinc and beta carotene, and we always need a little bit of copper in a formula if we're taking zinc, because those are the things that we can do to eat for eye health. But eating greens, like spinach and collard greens and kale, well, you don't know how to use them? Well, remember, you're buying organic, first off. And keeping that bag of organic spinach in the freezer so that you can easily throw some into something. You know, when I went to a restaurant, one very fancy restaurant, and they had tomato Florentine on the menu, and I realized it was just tomato soup with spinach in it. And, you know, I buy one of those cans of organic tomato bisque. And it's one of the few things that we have in our house that we use out of cans. But, you know, there's that brain dead night that you come home and, you know, the best you can do is a toasted cheese sandwich and a bowl of tomato soup. You take a handful of that frozen spinach and throw it in that tomato soup and all of a sudden you've got fancy smancy tomato Florentine. Collard greens and kale. No, you don't have to cook them all day long like I was taught as a kid. I remember Mrs. Edwards used to put those collards on the turnip greens on the back of the stove and she cooked them all day long with a ham hock in them. But you can cook them up just like any other greens. I mean, I steam the kale in 10 minutes, and sometimes I like it with a little brown rice vinegar on top, and sometimes I just like it plain. But getting those foods into your diet means you got to buy them, and you got to learn ways to use them. And take your vitamins, especially the A and the C and the E and the zinc and the things that we already know are incredibly beneficial for the eyes. Keep your eyes hydrated. You know, even a simple saline solution can lubricate and soothe the eyes. I'm really fond of those homeopathic eye drops that come from Switzerland because they actually have homeopathic remedies in them, and they're very nourishing and soothing to the eye if your eyes get irritated from being in the wind or in the dust. Make sure that these really dark colors are in your diet regularly. You know that those dark colors are where the pigments are concentrated. Things like blueberries. We know that blueberries are associated with the reduction of eye fatigue. And so when we put in those dark colors, whether it's the leafy greens or it's things like blueberries, we're benefiting the eye. Get plenty of omega-3 fish oil. And whether you're eating the fishes, Saturday night I had salmon. I made a little marinade. I put 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, and 2 tablespoons of wheat-free soy sauce, and put it in a zip-top bag and put the piece of salmon in it and let it sit in there for about 15 minutes, and then I baked it at 400 degrees. It was fabulous. Had it with a sweet potato and broccoli. Delicious. You know, cooking healthy doesn't have to be hard. So we want to get those omega-3 fish oils not only from fish oil capsules, but we also want to get them from eating those fatty fishes. Even twice a week makes a difference. Remember, heart-healthy diets in general are good for the eyes as well, because it's the same blood vessels. Pamper your eyes. Do nice things for your eyes. You know, when you see those pictures of people in fancy spas and they have those slices of cucumber over their eyes where they just close their eyes for 15 minutes, or they take a tea bag and wet it in cool water and put it on their eyes for 15 minutes. You know, that's a nice, refreshing, cooling thing to do. Drink tea. You know, plain old black tea and green tea. There's a little bit of evidence, not real solid yet, but there is some evidence that it does deter cataracts. You know, a lot of people talk about the herb bilberry, the herbal remedy. Talk about how it improves night vision. Well, remember, vitamin A is the key to night vision. Beta carotene is the key to night vision. But bilberry is what was used with the Royal Air Force as the British flew in World War II, bilberry is what helped them keep good night vision. And don't forget those UV filtering sunglasses. Those harmful UVA and UVB rays can contribute to cataracts. And make sure you give your eyes a break if you're working at a computer. You know, the 20-20-20 rule is take a break every 20 minutes and for 20 seconds look at something 20 feet away or further. Allow your eyes to refocus and relax. When you stare at a computer screen too long, you're keeping your focus at one distance constantly. And that one distance keeps those muscles in a particular shape. And so, you know, when we grew up out there on the big open plains, our eyes would change from looking at something close to looking at something far away. And so that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be able to look both near and far. And so when we take a break on the computer and just take our eyes out the window and look at the palm tree across the street, even just for 20 seconds, you get those muscles to move, and you end up with better focusing power as a result.